Oh, yeah, that was for King and Country, the song Priceless. And that is going to be the title of a new movie they have coming out in the fall. It's called Priceless, and it's a story of a very conflicted and a desperate man who's played, as a matter of fact, by Joel Smallbone from the band For King and Country, and he gets thrown into the dark world of human trafficking. You know, it's something that there's so much awareness about right now from so many different angles. And there is going to be a conference tomorrow, Saturday, at First Free Church in Onalaska. It's called The Sex Trade Ending Demand. And again, that's going to be at the First Free Church in Onalaska tomorrow morning, 9 till 11. And the guest speaker is going to be Chris Lunte. Chris is the founder and director of the MST Project, and it's a ministry to men who are caught up in one way or another in human trafficking, the plight of human trafficking, and perhaps even on the demand level of human trafficking. Our guest today is Chris Lunte. He's going to be, again, the keynote speaker tomorrow. Chris, it's a privilege to have you with us. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us about the ministry, the MST Project. What does that stand for? First of all, MST.
For sure. MST Project stands for Men and the Sex Trade. And it's a ministry based in Bangkok, Thailand, where we really, at the end of the day, we seek to mentor men into a pursuit of sexual purity and greater spiritual wholeness. We do that through ministry to men who visit red light districts, as well as men in the church who are dealing with issues of sexual sin, adultery, pornography, addiction, and really wanting to see both men come into a greater relationship with God and the freedom and the victory that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Again, I said there's a lot of awareness today about the plight of human trafficking, mm-hmm. but bringing it down to the American church and our comfortable church pews, it's something mm-hmm. we're not very comfortable with, even
for sure.
talking about dealing with, or maybe it's just too overwhelming for a lot of people here. Mm-hmm. What do we do about it?
You know, that is a great question, and I've heard that quite a few times from people who really are wondering, okay, it's a big issue. It's a big word. It happens. It seems like it happens in other countries, but does it happen in America? And how can I help be a part of it? And so really, I think what we're trying to do with people is, one, share with them that when you look at men who are involved in this environment, is it possible that the restoration and redemption and transformation power of God, is it possible for them to experience that? It is. Because we tend to look at these men as, you know, they're part of the problem. If they would just stop clicking on a website or just stop visiting these locations, everything would be better. And I think what we try to encourage people is, even when somebody makes an unhealthy and an unholy choice in their life, that doesn't mean that we put up our hand and say, I don't want to be a part of your life. I don't want to talk to you. Stereotypes release us from the responsibility of engaging. We want to bring down those stereotypes. We want to be a part of people's lives, and we want to be part of their journey to a lifestyle of freedom and victory. That's the first aspect of what I'm hoping to share.
Real quickly, I mean, this is a totally different aspect mm-hmm. of human trafficking than we usually think about or talk about. We think about the victims quite
right.
often, you know, a young teenage girl who mm-hmm. is entrapped in human trafficking, she mm-hmm. becomes the victim.
Right.
But there are many, many victims mm-hmm. and many different people involved in various aspects of human trafficking. And as you mentioned, the men and the demand. That's a huge part of it.
Sure. And we encourage people that when they look at this issue, don't just look at victim or victimizer. Look at both men and women needing to experience the grace and the mercy of Christ and the forgiveness of the cross. Because really, manipulation and exploitation is not exclusive to the female gender. And stories of hurts and pains are not absent from the lives of men. And we want to encourage people that when you look at the man and you see him as a stereotype, you really miss out on an opportunity to demonstrate compassion to the individual. So we want to encourage people to drop the stereotype and ask God, how can I potentially be part of ministering to this man? Because where he's at right now may be hopeless, but I can be part of bringing hope into his life. And if we give the same love to women, the same compassion to women, the same mercy to women, why can't we give that to men as well? Why are men not able to receive those same things that we freely give to women? And I think if we did show that grace to men, that compassion, that perseverance, that commitment, that belief, and that hope, Well, Darla, I think we would see a movement that that would really be powerful and probably global.
I don't want to get into the gender issues that are very confusing today to many people. But the point is that not just young teenage girls are the ones who fall prey to human traffickers. It's male and female and from all different ages as well. So when we're talking about the victims, you know, there are the predators. There are the traffickers. There are those who are, you know, held in bondage as a human sex slave. So we're talking about an all-encompassing issue here. So again, the conference is taking place tomorrow from 9 to 11. It's open to everyone, but especially men. Mm-hmm. And talking on the one end about the demand. You know, if you take away the supply and demand, if you take away the demand, then the supply wouldn't be necessary. So talk more about that and the other things you'll be speaking on tomorrow.
Sure. You know, and that there are a lot of people that equate the supply and with the demand. I think my encouragement is for when we look at this industry, I think it's bigger than just a demand because, you know, you've got corruption that allows it to happen. And I really think at the end of the day, it is the epidemic of fatherless households that contribute to so many of our social ills. Mm. You know, you have homes that are unstable. You have places where it's not safe, where there's potential violence or there's rejection. And there's so many lives that are shattered by a shattered home. And so when I look at this issue, I see that, yes, men contribute through their use of pornography. Men contribute through this culture that promotes the idea of lust equals love. And that's not true. And you see men and women engage in all kinds of immorality with one another. But I think there's a lot of issues that we really need to come at it with, you know, proper law enforcement, identity and value, the culture that's bent against everything that is good and holy as well. But in my talk to men, I really want to challenge men in two areas. One, we do have a responsibility to live a life of purity and holiness and righteousness. And so when we stand in church and we lift our hands and we worship God and we go to Bible studies and we do all these prayer meetings or whatever it is that we're involved in, but then we go in our times of secret and our dark places and we go to the depths of the internet that are perverted or sinful, you know, it just doesn't mix. Mm-hmm. And so we do contribute on it at a level where maybe we're not engaging in a red light district, maybe we're not buying sexual services, but we are creating a demand by what we do in secret. And I really think that if we're dealing with those areas of secrecy and those areas of sin, now's the time to walk out in the light. The church should be a safe place for men who are struggling with this. And I know so many times it's easy for us to be repulsed by certain sins. But when a man desires to walk in the light and he desires to walk in freedom, I think as the church, we should applaud that decision instead of condemning that decision. We want to see the church be a place where men can walk in freedom and in victory, not because we condone the past, but because we believe in what tomorrow looks like. We believe in a hopeful future where men pursue purity, and it's a privilege. It's not a burden. Mm-hmm. So while a man, again, may not go to a red light district to buy sexual services, he does have to acknowledge that his use of porn does contribute to that overall issue. But at the same place, the church really needs to be a place where we don't tell men to leave their baggage at the front door. We say, look, come in, and together we'll help you leave your baggage at the foot of the cross.
Mm. You know, the deal is that the enemy can so easily ensnare and entrap any individual with those so-called secret sins.
That's right.
You know, that because they're afraid, who do they go to? Mm-hmm. You know, even if I tell my friend in the Bible study what I'm struggling with, he's going to look down on me. Or maybe I have a ministry leadership position.
That's right.
How can I confess this to somebody? Mm-hmm. So it's a very difficult thing to bring out into the open. And it's a very easy way for the enemy to ensnare you because, you know, the more you keep it, that secret sin, the more deeply it becomes entrenched.
You're exactly right.
In your life. And that's so to come out into the light and to come out into freedom, how practically can a person do that?
Well, I think it can be very practical if the church really looks not to condemn somebody for what they've done, but to be a part of what they will do. You know, it's like when I look at this and I've talked to people in different places, they want men to be part of the solution, But before that happens, they want to remind men how much they're part of the problem. And those two just don't mix. Either you're going to remind a man about how he's a problem, or you're going to inspire a man about how he can be part of the solution. And I've told people when I speak at conferences, if your goal is shame and judgment, you should give it up. Mm-hmm. Because the reason is you can't do it as good as the enemy does it. And so if the enemy has a lock on shame and condemnation, why don't we as the church walk in the opposite spirit? Not because we condone what that man has done, but because the same grace and the same mercy that has set us free is the same grace and mercy that can set that man free. And if we want to see these issues like sex trafficking and human trafficking diminish and or be eliminated, then let's first start in walking in purity in the church so that the man becomes an example for other men and can show other men that path of freedom, victory, purity, righteousness, and holiness. There's other issues that need to be dealt with, but for men, it begins with us, what we do in secret, what we do in public, and how we live that out for the world to see.
And again, human trafficking is bondage on so many
right.
different levels, and God wants us to be free of that. And also, when you were talking about the guilt and the shame and the condemnation of the enemy, you know, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance.
Yes,
condemnation
is
not going to do that.
That's right.
So to find that true freedom, it has, you know, we have to come out into the light, you know, expose that sin, confess that sin, repent of that sin, but so often we need a safe place to be able to do that and then to be held accountable as we walk out of that darkness into the light as God strengthens us. And often he does that through Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so to be able to walk with people through that, and it's not not an easy path, is it?
No, it's not an easy path, but it's a fulfilling path. Because I think when we look in God's word, we can see that he calls us to live that life and he equips us to live it as well. And I think one of the things I really want to, you know, leave your listeners with is this. The church is an amazing place. And men are called to live lives of holiness and purity. And it's an honor and it's a privilege. And I want to just encourage men to walk in the light. You know, the pursuit of purity, it's not always easy, but it's always worth it. And if more men in the church can be that example to show other men how to walk that out, and again, with grace and mercy, compassion, commitment, perseverance, and hope, and belief that yesterday's gone, and today's a new day, and tomorrow can be amazingly beautiful in Christ, well then, Darla, I think we would see a movement that maybe perhaps this world is yet to see.
The root problem of all of this is a spiritual problem. And you mentioned the aspect of so many people growing up in broken homes. That sets somebody up to become a victim of human trafficking because they are trying to fill that need for love and acceptance and security. And the predators, on the other hand, have other needs in their life that they are trying to meet or trying to heal from perhaps some future or previous abuse. And you also mentioned the importance, so many different things I want to talk about here, but you talked about the importance of coming alongside the men and strengthening the men. And I'm thinking of our listeners out there who may not be in a church environment where they feel safe to do that. There is another local ministry that men can plug into, which is called Leading with Power. It's a monthly free men's luncheon with a speaker. And they have one in La Crosse, and the next one is coming up on May the 11th. And then there's also one up in the Eau Claire area in Chippewa Falls, and that'll be on May the 12th. Not only will you find a great lunch and great speaker at these events, but it is a great opportunity for you to connect with other Christian men and to grow in your faith with them, to develop those relationships where you can be honest and open and transparent and then hold one another accountable. So guys, if you're out there and you are struggling right now and you feel like you have nobody that you can talk to, know where you can turn, I highly encourage you to check out Leading with Power. And there are other ministries, other resources available on our ministry partner page. Now, Chris, let's get back to tomorrow, and let's also get back to the ministry that you're involved in, the MST Project.
Okay.
So tomorrow you're going to be talking about the overall problem of human trafficking, also about what men can do to attain, to reach that point of freedom in Christ and sexual purity, and then also what the church can do to address the problem, not only in their own congregation, but how about worldwide? Your ministry is located in Thailand, based in Thailand, at least one aspect of it. So what can we do on a global level, and then what can we do on a local level?
No, that's a great question, because I don't think most of your listeners are going to just move to Bangkok tomorrow.
Unlike you.
Well, that's next week. But,
okay.
You know, I think a lot of people look at this issue and think, well, there's nothing I can do. And I think actually that's the worst thing to think, because there actually is something that you can do. And one of the things I'm going to share on Saturday is there's three ways that you can be a part of contributing your life to eliminating this issue. One, there's a lot of great organizations out there, faith-based organizations, and even ones that are not faith-based. Every organization I know of needs finances. And there's a lot of people who say, you know, I can't move halfway around the world. I can't give up time throughout the week. I'm already overwhelmed with a lot of responsibilities, but I can give of my finances. And so I would encourage people, give finances to those organizations or ministries that really grab your heart and that you want to be a part of. Because ministries need finances to operate. It's just a simple fact. Two, volunteer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of ministries and organizations out there that either have staff or look to fill some of those roles with volunteers. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, one day a month or one day every 3 months, take that day and give all that you can in whatever role meets the need that those ministries or organizations have. And three, and I think this is something that everybody can do, whether you're driving to the store, whether you're going to work, picking up your kids, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for those ministries. Email them. Look at their website. Look and say, how can I pray one, two, or three things a week, just 5 minutes in the car, instead of checking your phone for Facebook or instead of just staring out the window? That's a great prayer time to really lift up those organizations or people that mean something to you and to pray for them. Mm-hmm. So one, resources. Ministries and organizations need finances. Give. Two, volunteer. If you have one day a week, one day a month, one day every 3 months, take your time and give what you can in with your time and with your talents to be a blessing. And three, everybody can pray, Darla. Mm. Everybody can pray. And prayer is powerful. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer can't be stopped. Yeah. So I'd encourage people to pray.
And I know that you do not say any of that flippantly or lightly. And we do know that all of this is a spiritual battle, and it has a spiritual solution. And so lifting every Bible-based ministry up in prayer is so important.
That's right.
I just love what you said, that what God puts on your heart, act on that, because there are so many needs out there. It can be so overwhelming mm-hmm. that it paralyzes us and just say, hey, I can't do anything. What I can do is just a drop in the bucket. But God has entrusted to each of us time and energy and resources and our sphere of influence. And with that, we can make a difference if we use it for Him.
That's right.
Like you said, donating to a ministry that is feeding you or a ministry that God has laid on your heart that you believe in. And also volunteering your time, so important. There is so much that needs to be done and so much more that could be done if people would step up. And then, of course,
And everybody has a role, Darla. Everybody has a role. Instead of saying, I can't move overseas, there's very few people that do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't have time to start a project. That's okay. We're all called to be a part of different aspects. But if we're all faithful in those different aspects, well, that's a powerful movement. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is. So again, ask God as you're listening today, take a few minutes and ask God what He would have you do. Again, knowing we can't, none of us can do everything, but each of us is to do something. Not only can we, but we need to be doing something. God wants you to use what He has given you to make a difference in this world. Again, the conference tomorrow from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock at First Free Church in Onalaska. Chris, you want to give an invitation to those you would have come?
I would. You know, everybody, I would encourage you to come out. It's 2 hours that I pray would encourage you, challenge you, but also inspire you, not only in your own life, but in your sphere of influence. So please come. You're welcome. We can't wait to see you there. And I really think it's going to be a time where you're going to see not only God move, but He'll also move in your heart as well.
And before you go, I'd like you to carefully. We are a family-friendly radio station, as we all are, knowing that we have listeners of all different ages. But I would like you, Chris, to speak directly to that person, male or female, who may be caught up in some sort of secret sin, and they don't feel like they have any safe place to turn. What would you say to them?
That's a very real feeling. I know I've lived that in my own life as well, feeling that I was overwhelmed by addictions or struggles, feeling that there was no hope, but there is hope and there is power and there is a freedom that's found in the cross. And, you know, there's a lot of voices out there that'll tell you, just keep it to yourself, just pull up your bootstraps, just try a little bit harder. But there's somebody that already did all that on our behalf, and his name is Jesus. And when I look at the cross, I see that not only did he die for my sins, he died for me to walk in freedom and victory as well. And like I shared earlier, yesterday, you can't change it. Friends, you can't go back and change history. You can learn from it. Today's a new day. His mercy and his love and his grace is new every day. And tomorrow can be beautiful. And I would encourage you, whether you feel like you have a safe outlet or not, only you know that. But I do know that prayer is a safe outlet. The cross is a safe place to be vulnerable and to be honest. And my true belief is that if you really want to walk that out, God will provide either that place or that person to walk with you, to support you, to encourage you, to inspire you, and to celebrate with you as you walk in the light and in freedom and in victory. Remember, yesterday's gone and today's a new day. The cross is powerful, it's restorative, it's redemptive, it's transformative for the worst of the worst and for you as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love the celebration aspect, because when we, you know, the sun sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
As Chris said, you can't change the past, but you know what? You can change today. And do not let the enemy keep you bound by shame and by fear and by embarrassment, where you don't reach out and get the help that you need, where you don't attend the conference, or where you don't reach out to that trusted Christian friend and share what's going on. Because the enemy wants to isolate you, and when he does that, he has the victory. But find the strength in the Lord to find that freedom in Jesus Christ. Again, the event tomorrow is going to be taking place at First Free Church in Onalaska. It's called the Sex Trade Ending Demand. Our guest today has been, and will be, the keynote speaker, Chris Lente. He is the founder and director of the MST Project. Now, if you would like to find out more about the ministry Chris is involved in, or about other ministries involved in human trafficking, we have Fierce Freedom up in the Eau Claire area, also the Redeem and Restore Center in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. You can find all of those links on our ministry partner page at praisenetwork.com. Just go in and it's under the About tab. Again, that's at praisenetwork.com. Again, the event tomorrow, 9 till 11 at First Free Church in Onalaska. You can find out more on their website or go to our calendar page at praisenetwork.com. You'll find it all there, including directions and everything you need to know. It is a free event, so nothing's stopping you, right? Okay. Chris, thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you, Darla.
I'm sure it's not an easy ministry.
It may not be easy, but it's always worth it.
Yeah.
It's always worth it, because God is already at work, and to be able to partner with what he's already doing, it's an honor and a privilege.
Well said, well said. Again, our guest today has been Chris Lente. He's the founder and director of the MST Project. He'll be the keynote speaker tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, at First Free Church in Onalaska. Find all those details on our calendar under the News and Events tab at praisenetwork.com. Here's a museum, not for sale.